Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Welcome back to Dudes Behind the Foods. I'm Tim Chantharongsu.
And I'm a Kim Jong-un.
Annyeong haseyo, everybody out there. In
Japan, die. Korea, South Korea, die. North Korea, live forever.
Wait, when was the last time you were in Korea?
Last time I was in Korea, I was 14 years old, and that's when I got the food poisoning from KFC.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you went to a KFC in Korea.
Yeah. Out of all the things I could have eaten, because I used to love KFC before I had the food poisoning, and now when I'm around KFC, it makes me sick. Nothing wrong with the company, it's just I somehow got food poisoning from
it. Yeah, your body just kind of, it goes back. You have PTSD. You have KFC PTSD.
I have KFC PTSD.
You know, what's crazy that you say that is in Thailand, there's like a KFC on every block. They love KFC out there.
Hey, do you know about this? I heard in Thailand that you need a college degree to work at McDonald's.
What?
Yeah, you actually need a certain level of education to work at McDonald's, and it's actually a decent paying job.
I've never heard that.
If you're in Thailand... Let me know if that's true. But I heard like you have a decent living wage out there if you work at a McDonald's. It's like, hey, you're doing pretty good.
Really? Ma, I don't know. I'll ask somebody.
You know nothing about your people, dude.
I don't. All I know is pad thai and transgender beautiful prostitutes
eating pad thai.
Oh man!
Did you ever go to the ping pong show? Boop.
I tell you what, I've always wanted to. I've always wanted to experience a ping pong show.
I thought that was a joke. It's real.
No, it's completely real.
Yeah.
So I was out there. You ever heard of Titanium?
No.
Titanium is a Thai rap group. Well, like some of the guys are from New York. There's like, and they're popping. They have like.
Oh, is it actual? I thought you were making a joke.
No. It's an actual rap group, and they got like they're pretty popping out there. Okay, and so one of the guys, Wei. His mom is actually was friends with my mom when they were younger or something like that. Our moms know each other.
Oh shit!
So me and I've been on a remix of one of their songs years ago. And when I was in Thailand, I hit up somebody that either was with them or knew somebody. I was like, hey, what's up with a ping pong show? And they were like, oh man, I don't know if you want to do that. Like the area is really like seedy apparently when you go, because it's like it'll be in the red light district, but I guess it's like for the ping pong show, it's kind of like the deeper parts of the red light district, you know? And someone's like, maybe not. And I was like, oh, all right, well damn, well shit, all right.
Yeah, if a local's saying that, it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody who recently went, I forget who, I'm sorry, but they were telling me that like when you go, you know, you sit down, like someone kind of takes you down into a little like wherever it's at, and it feels weird. But then like there, and when they went, there was no one there. And then people start coming out doing weird. Like one girl came out and she like signed a piece of, she put the pen in her cooch and like signed her name on a piece of paper. And then different acts start happening on stage. And they were like, okay, well, let's get out of here. I don't want to stay too long. And they don't know that they charge you per act that goes on stage. So they'll be like, oh, come in for free, but then, you know, you have to get like a 2-drink minimum or whatever, so they might get a couple Pepsis or some waters if they don't want to drink. But then the more acts come on stage, they're charging you for that.
Oh, shit.
So they
they're charging
know.
You like American prices, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the bills are coming out. It's like, I don't know, like $200. And you're like, what the fuck? I didn't even buy anything.
That could feed a whole village in Thailand, dude. Yeah, yeah. What the hell?
It's crazy. So, but yes, I've heard some crazy shit. I heard, I think Rihanna tweeted, she was live tweeting one time when she went to a ping pong show, and she was like, this girl pulled a live bird out of her cooch and it like fucking flew.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Shit like that.
And that was the fucking motivation behind her hit single.
Umbrella.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess it gets pretty wild. It's more than just shooting ping pongs out of their cooches. It's it's a lot more, you know, and apparently it's pretty crazy. I've been curious. Part of me feels like, you know, I'm Thai, I should experience this for once.
I always wanted to go to Thailand. First of all, I heard I'm a giant there. Like, if I'm there, I'm like substantially bigger than everybody else.
It depends, because my uncle, my mom's brother is like, how tall are you?
6'1".
He might be like 5'11". Like, he's a tall dude as well. So, it depends. But yeah, majority, I don't remember a lot of tall people.
Because when I was in Japan, I was substantially larger than everybody else.
And they're like, Godzilla!
No, they were like, dirty Korean. Get out of my country.
Damn, next time you go to Japan, let me know, because I'm trying to go, dog.
You would love it. All the clothes would fit you. None of the clothes fit me over there. Like, it's just damn near. Even if I lost like, what, 70 pounds?
Yeah.
Still can't fit the clothes.
Right, because I mean, I feel like European Asian sizes, they're like sized
down.
I'm
a quadruple XL over there.
I need to get rid of a shit ton of my clothes. And I was like vlogging. I'm like, all right, guys, I might have like a garage sale. So all my small, medium, 8.5 to 9 sizes shoes out there, guys, come through.
I literally can't fit. So if you guys go to Japan, right? There's different areas in Japan, just like, you know, any country. But I think like first timers should always go to Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, the food is the best there. Mm. It's like any metropolitan city. You're going to have the best chefs there. Everybody goes there to live in the city. The food is fucking amazing. It's almost damn near hard to get terrible food in Tokyo.
Mm.
And there's like, oh, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes from that to whatever's amazing after that. So if you guys don't know, one of the places that I fucking hate in this country, the United States, fast food, is American Yoshinoya.
Oh, you know what? I don't know if I've ever been to Yoshinoya.
You don't have to.
Okay.
And you know what? Mr. Dorito guy, you probably like it. So I've had Yoshinoya twice here.
Uh-huh.
Gave me diarrhea twice.
Really?
And I don't just get diarrhea super easy. Yeah. I make jokes about it, but you know, when you're a big boy, you can handle a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Yoshinoya in Japan is completely different.
Mm.
It's like yakiniku bowls, which is beef bowls, you know, with the sweet soy and the onions and sometimes with eggs, oyakodon or whatnot. That's the chicken version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like what you can get at a restaurant. But it's
fast food. Really?
It's that fucking good. Like when I went to Yoshinoya, everybody's like, you have to eat Yoshinoya in Japan.
Really?
I'm like, I fucking hate Yoshinoya.
It's probably where it originated.
It's where it originated. But the American version is it's completely different. Like the beef bowls that they have there is like stuff that I would pay like $17 for at a restaurant over here, but it's their fast food.
Damn.
It's fucking delicious, dude.
Let me ask you this. Did you go to that horse sashimi spot?
So here's the funny thing. So I was actually with a couple of people from JK.
Yeah.
And we went to go eat Japanese barbecue.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting there and we're like, damn, this place is fucking fire. Like, it smells so good. I'm sitting there, I'm like, that's a fucking, dude, Japanese cows look so weird. And so we're just sitting there and then we get a platter of stuff and I'm looking at this diagram and I'm like, that's a horse.
You didn't even know you were there?
No, we already sat down.
Whoa.
And I'm like, that's a fucking horse. We're going to eat horse right now. I had no idea. But I heard I've heard good things about horse. So if you guys also don't know, in Mongolia, like one of their main staple proteins is like horse. My friend did missionary work over there. And when he was there, he said Mongolian people regularly eat horse. But in Japan, they also eat horse. They have like horse barbecue spots, like Korean barbecue.
Oh, word.
Probably one of the best meals I've ever had.
Really?
I actually ate raw horse face fat.
Oh.
So they like shave off from like the bridge of the nose or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And there's like face fat there and you eat that shit raw. And I ate it.
Word?
It was actually really fucking good.
I mean, one of my favorite cuts of meat when I go to the taco when I go to the taco truck is the cabeza meat, which is just like it's literally like this area.
The whole
yeah.
face, they just like
it's the T zone.
Yeah,
you know?
The oily T zone. Can I get the oily T zone of the cow, please?
yeah. Well, that's so interesting. I feel like if someone offered me horse barbecue in Japan, I would say nay.
He only asked that question so he could make that joke.
Yes, because I'm lying. I would totally be down.
Yeah, you would fucking eat. And you know what? You would love it. And the funny thing is, Japanese people are probably, I mean, despite their war transgressions, we're talking about now. All
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is coming from a Korean man. I'm okay. Don't worry, guys. I'm okay. But they are so, the customer service level is fucking unreal.
Mm.
I was at a Adidas Japan, right? Because they, first of all, the Adidas in Japan, the clothing is amazing.
Yeah.
It's fucking dope. Like they have all their collabs with like Neighborhood, you know, Y3 or whatever, whatnot, mm-hmm. right? It amazing. I go there. I actually leave my vlogging camera in the store.
Mm.
I walk out. I don't even know I have my camera. Suddenly, I hear, Sumikaze! This motherfucker is bolting at me. Like he's about to pass a baton and I have to grab it and run. I left my camera and he ran full speed to
Damn.
Make sure I got my camera back.
How nice.
In the United States, that fool would have started a vlogging channel with my gear. 100%.
With half of your footage.
With half my footage. All my B-roll. It's like, that's me in there, guy. At the horse restaurant, they couldn't speak English.
Yeah.
Like any bit of English.
Mm-hmm.
That's not their fault. We
right.
are in your country.
Yeah.
We should know how to speak Japanese
right,
a
right,
little
right.
bit or something, how to communicate. This woman, I thought her neck was going to fall off for how many times she bowed and apologized to us.
Aww.
She's like, sorry. I'm like, you don't have to apologize.
Yeah.
We'll just point at pictures. It's okay. It's
right,
okay.
Right, right.
But we don't even, at that point, I could understand Japanese at like a first grade level.
Yeah.
But I couldn't speak it anymore.
Mm.
Because I took Japanese for 4 years and
mm-hmm.
I studied after.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariel wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So I understood what she was saying to me, but I couldn't speak it. So I felt so bad. So we spoken to a translator.
Right.
Basically said, it's cool.
It is okay.
Yeah. It is okay. Stop bowing.
Stop making this weird.
Yeah. But their service level is so high level. They're hyper apologetic. And I heard like it's like that in South Korea too. But
really?
I haven't been since I was like 14.
Man, you know, like before the pandemic, literally like Tokyo was on my like list. I was like, babe, we're going to
Oh,
Tokyo.
You would love it.
Oh, I you know, just like the like the food and the fashion and like the weird sex shit. I just want to try it all.
So there's this place called the Tsukiji Fish Market, right?
Okay.
And that's where you see all the tuna, all this live, and they do tours in there. So I heard about this, but I wasn't sure if it's real. And I'm still not sure if it is, but they said that there's a lot of like Yakuza that still runs that stuff.
Mm.
But the funny thing is our tour lady, super fucking sweet, but I had my camera, right? And she goes, oh, before you do video stuff, certain people would like for you to ask, right? If you could take a photo or whatever, whatnot, right? So in that fish market area, she let the people know, oh, like we have some tourists here. Would you mind if they could take photos? Everybody was like down, except for this one guy, but he didn't say anything because she asked everybody very politely in the Japanese way. You know, she brought out a sword. She put it to her stomach. No, but she asked everybody. And this guy, as I bring the camera up, he goes, no! No photo! Like, by the way, I exaggerate a lot of things. I'm under exaggerating right now. This little Japanese man, he had like this little fucking fish cleaver and he just made a cross sign like this.
What?
No photo! No photo! Just screaming at me. And I'm like, I didn't even lift my camera to shoot. It was just on me.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, what the fuck? And then she starts playing to the man, like calming him down. And then I asked her, I was like, oh, did I do something really disrespectful?
Yeah.
She looks at me, she goes, you know, sometimes, he's just a mean. He's so rude. I was like, oh, okay, so it's not me, it's him. You know what I mean? Because I thought I did something super disrespectful. It's not my country. I don't know what's going on.
Oh.
She just had that pause. She was like trying to be super polite. She goes, he's so rude.
He do that every day.
I know. we hooked up 3 years ago, and he always wanted this pussy. I told him no more.
Now he's sabotaging my tour.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to kick his ass. Yeah, she was so upset at the guy.
And I realized my Japanese accent came off kind of Italian right now. You know.
He's such a pussy.
He's sabotaging my tour.
But that lady is so sweet. Customer service is great there. The food is great.
Yeah.
And obviously, you can go to different places. But Tokyo, I feel like, is a must. If you go to the fashion district, clothing is fire. Everything that we think is cool here has been there for 3 or 4 years.
Right, right. We're,
like, the United States is always behind fashion.
For sure.
And it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I remember at the time when we went to Japan, the color palette was earth tones, mm-hmm. right? But America hadn't caught up to that shit mm-hmm, yet. Mm-hmm. Like for example, just the olive green, mm-hmm. the you know, all that other shit,
mm-hmm.
earth tone shit. And I just remember walking around, everybody was wearing that stuff. Well, when I was wearing in the United States, just because, you know, I love Japan shit, you know, whatever, when as an Asian person, everybody kind of brings that over a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't get it. They thought it was like, you know, people wearing the bright colored shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in Japan, it was already popping. 2 years later, everybody's wearing that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I told you, motherfuckers.
Kanye
shit. I actually saw all of Kanye's line there in Japan. There was a whole row of it.
Word.
$2,000 jackets.
Damn, man. I need to go, and you need to go to Thailand. We'll figure it out, bro. Next time you go to Japan, let me know. Next time I go to Thailand, I'll let you know.
You should go to Thailand and just watch a Muay Thai match. I heard they're fucking nuts.
I would love to. Yeah, because I feel like it's such a big part of the culture that I have yet to experience in Thailand, you know? Thailand, right, same shit where it's kind of really hard to find bad food if you're going to like just local spots. You know, it's all pretty fire. I always tell people, I'm like, look, yes, you will probably get diarrhea at some point during your trip if you're eating from like the food carts and like the little stands and shit, but it's like the best food from these little carts. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to regulate it more, but like, it's always so bomb. Like, you could literally, bro, like, my dad, I'd be at my grandma's house, and my dad would be like, I'm hungry, let's go for a walk. And there would just be like a little fucking cart of someone making noodles, bro. $5. You know, no, like, back then it was even, it was way less.
Probably way less than that.
Yeah, yeah. Back then it was like,
couple bucks.
Like, yeah, couple bucks. And because the American dollar, one American dollar is like 40 baht back then, anyways. So then, like, we basically bought like two bowls of noodles for like $2-3, fucking fire, fresh ass noodles, broth is popping, everything's fucking bomb. And I'm gonna tell y'all all about how Chia shit herself right after this break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Tim.
And David.
And if you want to listen to Dudes Behind the Foods without ads, now you can.
Just go to dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too.
That's dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com. Thanks.
Okay, so Chia has been to Thailand with me one time for sure, maybe twice. One time for sure, though. Okay, so I was out there performing at actually a YouTube fan fest in Thailand, and it was lit for me because this was my first time performing in Thailand, and a lot of people didn't even know I was Thai. So I like went on stage and I was like,
"Oh, you did a performance in Thailand?"
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of dope.
Bro, it was so fucking dope. I was like in the newspaper, like big ass picture of me in the newspaper, because it was like, I'm Thai, you know? I was doing like, I did a couple interviews and I got on stage and I was like kind of speaking Thai. I'm like, "Hey, you know, like Sawadee Kap." I was like, "People don't know I'm Thai, but I'm actually Thai." And then they were like, they were going crazy. And, you know, I'm like speaking my broken Thai, you know what I'm saying? But they were so just like, a lot, like, some people were proud because they knew.
Surprise.
Yeah, it's, and the other people were like, "Oh shit, this is crazy," you know. So I was out there for a show. Chia was with me, and of course, you know, we're going like doing all touristy shit. We're going to like the leaning the reclining Buddha and all like the popular temples, and we're doing the touristy shit, right? And there's all these carts outside where they're selling the street meat, and I'm like, "Oh, babe, you gotta get some street meat. It's fucking fire," and it always is. And so she had some, and of course, I don't know if my stomach is just used to it. I was fine, but it definitely had her bubble guts in a little bit, you know.
Oh, with the little amount of food she eats.
I know, I know. So there was one night specifically, the night after the day when we went and had the street meat. There's a lounge downstairs of our hotel, and some of the other like YouTubers and people that were there were like, "Y'all, let's go down there and have a drink, right?" So Chia puts on a little fucking dress. I think it was like a either dark green or a black dress. I remember she was looking nice, right? And we go down the elevator from our hotel room to downstairs lounge. And as soon as the doors open up, Chia's like, "Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm about to shit myself." She's like, "I gotta go back."
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. She gets down to the elevator. She's like, "I have to go." She goes right back up to the room. And I'm like, "All right, babe, I'll just meet you back down here." She's like, "Okay, I'll be right back." She was like, and then she comes back down. She's like, "Oh my God, that was like Dumb and Dumber scene, like shit, where like fucking, you know, where Harry, is it Harry? Yeah, Harry gets the
explosive
eye drops. Yeah, explosive diarrhea. Yes, bro, like that." She was like, "Oh my God, I was so close to not even making it." It was like that, dog. And then she came back down. She was fine. We got her some meds, you know. And here's the funny shit. That week, since I was in Thailand, I hit up, you know, my family. Majority of my family's in Thailand, all my aunties, uncles, cousins. And we went to like a dinner in Bangkok. And one of my aunts is a, she's like one of the higher ups at this hospital, actually. Mm. And so we're sitting at the table, and this aunt just happened to be next to Chia. She leans over. This is the first time Chia ever met this aunt. She leans over. She's like, "Do you still have diarrhea?" She's like, "I'm fine now, thank you."
That's so fucking funny, dude. But you know, Asian people don't give a fuck. Yeah. So when Joe and his girlfriend came over to my place, mm, right? They were doing a road trip all the way through California. Mm. My mom's very hospitable. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of your mom, actually. Mm. So we have a lot of similarities. So my mom was making this huge spread of Korean food, whatever, and grubbing. And then Joe was like, "Oh, can I use your washing machine so I can wash my clothes?"
Yeah.
Mom's like, "I'm going to do it." So she just started washing Joe's clothes. Because, right? You know, whatever. It's like, my friends are like her children. And so this woman, so funny, starts washing the clothes or whatever, right? And then also Joe's girlfriend's clothes are in there too, right? And then she sees her underwear.
Panties,
and
yeah.
And she goes, "So tiny!" And she starts dancing with it.
Oh my God.
My mom's fucking stupid, dude. And then, you know, Joe's girlfriend's like the coolest girl ever. She's just cracking up. She thinks it's so funny. But mom's like,
"Wow.
No, she's so fucking funny, dude." I'm like, "Why'd you do that, you fucking psychopath?"
That is adorable. Wait, your mom was in town recently?
No, this is when they drove. They went to Sacramento because they did a road trip.
Yeah, I see.
And I was there to visit family. So I was like, "Hey, why don't you guys stop by and then we'll go do Sacramento shit."
That's tight.
Yeah.
You should stop by for dinner again sometime, bro.
Bro, I would fucking love to.
You know what my mom makes that's so bomb? I always forget to like request it. She makes a fire Thai style oxtail soup. It's like an oxtail, ooh, stew, and there's like tomatoes in it and borados. Yeah, and it's fucking bomb. It makes you do this. You take a bite and you go, it's like that. Fucking lip smackety good, dog.
I was telling you about this, but if you guys don't watch this shit. It's probably one of the funniest things you'll ever see. It's just a bunch of moms rating each other's foods on the internet. Mm. So BuzzFeed originally started it, and then a bunch of other channels just developed their whole channel off of this shit, mm-hmm. where it'll be like Italian moms try their lasagna.
Right, each other's lasagna.
And I've never seen a bunch of fucking haters just in one area, just hating for no fucking reason.
Which moms were they hating? These moms.
I'll tell you this though: if you guys watch it, it's always African or black moms that are so harsh on each other. They're the worst. They really? Just fucking wreck that. I thought it was gonna be Italian moms, like it was gonna be the worst. But something about like. They're just so competitive because they want their shit to be the best, which is actually kind of dope.
You know what? I think in terms of like older generations, I think as far as like Asian culture and black culture, I think that's something that's super similar where
haters yep.
of other people's recipes. Because y'all know, I've told this story before. My mom is the hardest to please in terms of like cooking, you know what I'm saying? Because her shit's always on point. So like I said, man, whenever my mom doesn't eat at a Thai food restaurant or any restaurant she doesn't like, you see it on her face immediately. She's she'll sit there. We'll be eating somewhere. I'll take her somewhere to
eat. So unnecessary.
I'm like, mom, let me come try this restaurant, right? And I'll look over and she's just, all the time. And my dad gets pissed. He's like, come on. Yeah. Just give it a chance or whatever. But it's like, she's just the most difficult person to please. And that's why I was so happy when Chia's dad made the injera for all of us, and my parents came over. My mom was like, "Oh, this is really good," and I was like, "Oh, thank God!"
Thank, because this is about to start some shit, dude.
Bro, speaking of those videos, there was a video I came across similar themed videos recently. It was tribal people trying.
American food.
Trying American food.
How dope is that shit, dude?
And there was one, it was cheesecake, I think, right? And there was this older dude, and I don't know which like area of the world this like tribe is from, but this guy, he's like, and they're, you know, he's talking and he has this cheesecake and everyone's kind of surprised. They're like, oh, it's cold. Oh, this is interesting. And of course it's all like, you know, subtitles. And this one guy's like, he takes a bite, he kind of like lets it like marinate in his mouth. He's chewing and he's like, I want to kiss the hands of the person that made this. It's just mind-blowing.
The way they
blown.
Describe things. There's one guy I know that he looks up every adjective for positive words when he likes something, because he'll just sit there for like 5 minutes. Super. Fantastic. Delicious. Best. Amazing. Universal. Like, he'll just go off about how good it is.
Yeah.
One of the episodes that I really, really liked, and I think so there's something about like either the way they're translating or how they're saying it that just sounds so fucking fire.
Yeah.
And they were and it was when they had them try soul food, right? Mm. And the guy was basically breaking down. He goes, you know, it's pretty cool to see this culture that creates this food out of scraps, out of nothing. When they were enslaved people in this country, they took what they could and they make this delicacy that everybody craves. And like, that is the beauty of like black culture.
Damn, that's how he explained it?
That's how he explained it.
Wow, I just got the chills.
Yeah, I was like, that shit's fucking beautiful, bro. But it's probably something like culturally they can relate to, of like kind of taking your lemons and, you know, turning into lemonade.
Yeah.
And the way that he kind of like put that perspective and spin on that type of food. Because if you know like soul food, right? A lot of the stuff that we like, especially when it comes to like smoked meats, like let's say, for example, a brisket, right?
Mm-hmm.
A brisket typically is a tough ass piece of beef.
Mm-mm-mm.
There's a reason why you have to smoke it and cook it for such a long time, because all that, you know, intramuscular fat,
right?
All that, you know, the muscle fibers need to be cooked for a long time so it's nice and relaxed and it's juicy. Well, these were all like throwaway foods. Like, for example, chicken wings. Chicken wings were fucking throwaway food.
Right. I mean, it's just a little tiny piece of meat.
Yeah, people just throw that shit away.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody along the lines was like, you know what? The fuck is you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But there was like, that's like the whole concept of like what soul food is too. It's like it's pretty crazy how all the stuff, like, it was like throwaway food and now everybody craves it. It has such a high price to it.
Mm-hmm. Gentrification.
You know what? Hey, come at me. I don't give a fuck. I hate Southern mac and cheese.
You hate Southern mac and cheese?
I hate Southern mac and cheese with everything that I have.
Why?
Because it's a casserole. It's baked, and then after it cools down a little bit, it becomes clumped.
Yeah.
And whenever you're served it, it's just this cake. I don't like it. I want the gooey
shrimp. Oh, you want it all out throughout the noodles and shit.
Exactly. And so, like, Southern mac and cheese, like, I've made it a few times. okay, I'm being a little hyperbolic. I don't hate it.
Right.
It's not my preferred mac and cheese, right?
Yeah.
So they'll use not condensed milk, but evaporated milk, eggs, and that's the casserole part. That is the binder that they use to mm-hmm. make it into a casserole. And I don't like the binding part of it. I like it to just string up and then eat.
Man, I fuck with it, dog. I like that it's like a cake with like the burnt edges and stuff.
But you could have that and it could also be goopy and cheesy. And it's only like that with southern mac and cheese when it's fresh out the oven.
I'm actually drooling right now at your explanation of the southern mac and cheese.
I like the part with this little dookie flex on it.
You know what I do with the southern mac and cheese that not everyone does? Add a little barbecue sauce to it.
Barbecue sauce on... You know what the best barbecue sauce is, by the way? The bottles? Which was your favorite?
What is the question? What's my favorite brand?
Bottled.
I always go for the... what is it? Sweet Baby Ray's.
Yes.
My,
the original flavor, Sweet Baby Ray's. Mm-hmm. I used to make my own barbecue sauce whenever I, like, you know, or smoke some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that. I just get Sweet Baby Ray's. I think it's way better than the shit that I make.
I love it.
It's the best. Yeah. It's so fucking good.
And I try the, you know, they get, and then now they got all the different, you know, they got the spicy one and they got mm-hmm. like the different shit.
That one spot when we were on when we were doing the Send Foods
with the guests,
it was that barbecue sauce. What joint was that? And they had the hot mustard barbecue
yes,
sauce.
Yes, they tagged us on IG too because we were talking about it. I forgot what it was called. Sorry guys, but it was the mustard sauce was popping.
It was so good. I took it home and I was eating that for months.
It was the episode where we interviewed Bachelorette Girl.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, so annoying. Everybody's like, oh, David has a crush on her. It wasn't even that. I'll be honest. I fucking hated the format of that show. I did not want to be there.
Yeah. So everyone thought that, like, David was being so awkward because she was, like, a pretty girl.
I was annoyed.
but that, when Thrillist had us do Send Foods interviewing guests, it was definitely, like, an awkward. We weren't really sure how to do it.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
We didn't know what to do.
Because I told them, I was like, I don't want us to be interviewing people.
Yes.
Because Send Foods is about me and David, okay? And our love of food. And so when they brought in guests, I was like, yo, is this going to be an interview? She's like, no, don't interview. Just, you know, they're going to bring in their food. And like, you know, you guys are just going to be enjoying the food. I'm like, all right, man. But then you get this like, what is this?
Exactly.
You know, what are we supposed to be talking about? Because now we have this guest here we know nothing about. They're just showing us their food, but it's like, and I don't want to interview, but I feel like I should interview you, so it's all just kind
of
weird.
I just didn't know what the point of the show was,
yeah.
You know, at that point. And mind you, this is just because, you know, COVID made things really weird.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was a shift that we had to do on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was like, you have a crush on her. I'm like, I was so annoyed. Not of her. She was fine.
Yeah, she was great.
I just didn't know what the fuck to do. I was just like, okay, well, what the fuck are we doing here? You know what I mean? And so, it got to later on, we had to figure out the vibe and the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you saw in the later episodes, it got a little, and by the way, too, it's not like every guest that comes on, just because you like food doesn't mean you could talk about food or you know about it.
Right.
So it's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they would come on and they'd be like, oh, this is some food that I eat.
Kill. Yeah, and we're like fucking pulling for like whatever we can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like some of the guests that came on, like, yeah, they liked food, but, you know, like my boy Matt, Nate Schott, you know, he was coming on. He's like,
I love that guy, by the way.
He was like, yo, I don't. He was from Chicago, and he's like the Chicago dog. He's like, yeah, like it's good, but I don't eat it with this. I don't eat it with that. I've never had. What did he say? He has so much shit. He's like, I've never tried this, and I will never try this.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, bro,
give it a go.
What did he say? He's like, he's never had, it was a bunch of shit.
Salt.
Dog.
No, but that dude, you know why I liked about him the most, though, is the fact that he's very honest, though.
Yeah.
He wasn't pretending about what he likes or what mm-hmm. he enjoys. He wasn't doing any of this shit. He goes, this shit is fucking fire. And honestly, out of all the guests, I think he had some of the best food that he brought on.
He just brought, like, look, I love this burger, and it was fire burger.
The cheesecake that he brought was fucking
so
good.
Bummed. You didn't like his Panera that he brought, but.
Was that Panera with the he brought? Oh, no, that was Marlon Webb.
The mac and cheese. Oh, you're right.
Marlon Webb, shout outs to Marlon Webb for having the most disgusting palate I've ever known in my life. Guy's fucking hilarious, by the way. He makes some of the funniest content I've ever seen, but literally chop off your tongue. That he I've never had Panera Bread mac and cheese before, right?
Yeah.
But this is something that he craves. Now, I understand there's a nostalgia effect with food,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't give a fuck. And I was like, I literally said, I think on the show, it tastes like somebody squeezed this out of a bag.
Mm.
And then somebody from Panera was like, it is from a bag.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You actually squeeze it out. And that's exactly what it tasted like. I don't even have like a refined palate, but it tasted like plastic.
I mean, you know, the thing I try to tell people, you know, that are coming up, I'm like, hey man, you're getting some money now. Spend a little bit of that. Spend just a little bit of it on some,
do better.
On some trying some different food, and I promise you, it's gonna blow your mind.
You know what's interesting too? Like, I remember I told him, like, the thing that I remember about him the most that I thought was so obscure, and I don't know why it cracks me up the most, mm-hmm. is when he used to put this watermelon on his head, and he pronounced it watermelon.
Watermelon,
and
yeah.
And it used to crack me, and I couldn't figure out why. This was so fucking funny to me. But then you mentioned that to him, and he's like, it's actually one of my most hated. I hate that fucking shit. But it always happens, too. Like, sometimes the stuff that you don't like is the stuff that people like the most.
I know.
And that's his thing. Like, he didn't like the watermelon thing. He was like, it's fucking whatever.
Was there any food that you loved as a child that you hate now, or a food that you hated as a child that you love now?
That is a very good question. I have to think on that. I'm pretty sure there is something.
I'll tell you what, for me, while you think, when I was little, I couldn't stand tomatoes or onions. If they were in my food and my mom was making me eat it, like, she was like, just eat the tomato, I would have to, like, I would bite it, I would go and swallow like that. I hated it so much.
Tomato.
But now, yeah, put some tomatoes and some onions in my sandwich or my burger. I love it.
Oh, I love that shit.
Yeah.
Actually, don't know. I think I'm a fat guy, so I pretty much ate everything. But the thing I don't like is this. I don't like very too beefy tasting soups.
Interesting.
If it's too beefy, like if it tastes too much like the marrow and the bones, I don't like it. I think it is weird.
Really?
I don't know, but I'll tell you the story after we come back from a break. So, when I was a kid, there was this soup that a lot of Korean people know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a phrase that I feel like a lot of Asian parents say to you. It's when you don't like something that they think is great, they go, you don't know shit. They love saying that. She goes, 너 비싼 거 뭔지도 몰라. So she goes, you don't even know what expensive shit is. So she's basically saying, I have like the taste of a peasant.
That's so funny. Before you continue, quick side tangent, because mm-hmm. I never even realized this until you said it. But when Thai people say, like, if you don't like a food in Thai, mm-hmm. they don't say, oh, he doesn't like the food. They'll say, tan mai ben, which means you don't know how to eat it.
And how annoying is that shit, Doug? I'm sorry. What is that? It's like, oh, you're an idiot. That's basically what you're fucking telling me.
Yeah.
It's like, so she would make this dish is called komtang. Komtang is basically a beef marrow soup.
Okay.
A lot of people like this. It's like a hearty, thick, rich, and it's supposed to be good for you because it's high in calories, a lot of fat, and it's like something that you eat during the winter or when you're sick.
Mm.
So my mom would make this fat fucking boiling pot of komtang every fucking winter, right? Just bone, like beef marrow in it, and there's also tendon. There's tripe inside that shit, wherever the fuck that you want, right? Everything I hate. Tendon and tripe, disgusting. My brother loves that shit.
Sounds amazing.
And then it's unseasoned, so what you would do is that you season it how to your liking.
Ah.
So you get a mixture of salt and pepper into this little bowl, and you throw it however much you want. Then you get something called puchu. Puchu is like garlic shoots, right? You could throw that in there. You could throw some kimchi in there, mix it into the soup, eat it to your liking. I fucking hate it.
Interesting.
So my mom would make the biggest pot you've ever seen. I'm talking about like lunch lady pot size of it. She would serve this bowl up. And every fucking year since I was a kid, I'm like, Mom, you know I hate this. She goes, just try it.
Yeah.
Put it in my mouth and I would throw up.
Really?
Next year, makes a big pot again. I am now 8 years old. Try this. I don't like this. You eat this or I'll beat your ass. Eat it. I throw up.
Yeah.
She goes, you don't know what good food is. I am now 9 years old. Big pot. Try this again. Have you not learned?
Yeah.
I can't eat this. Eat this or I'll beat your ass. Eat it, throw it up. you don't know what good food is.
And even today, as a grown ass man, you don't fuck with it.
So I finally, at like, I think I was like 20,
mm-hmm.
she stopped making it for me,
mm.
and I just had enough. I was like, no more.
Yeah,
I can't do this anymore. I fucking hate this soup.
Yeah,
she was like, geez, you should have just told me.
Why don't you say something?
As I fucking threw up in front of her, and I don't know why. It's just so beefy. And as a kid, I didn't eat a lot of beef.
Mm, that's right.
So beef tasting things fucking grossed me out.
Yeah,
I did not like it. So I mean, I'll eat it now,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't make me yak.
Yeah.
But it's not my favorite. I think it's because of the memory part of it. But it's very rich. It's delicious.
Well, tell your mom I'm coming over and to make a big cafeteria-sized lady pot for me.
Oh, you'll love it, you fucking Dorito chip-eating bastard.
So, well, do you fuck with Thai boat noodles, though?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thai boat noodles are one of my favorite noodle soups of all time. Top three.
Because boat noodles is pretty meaty, bro.
Take out the tripe for me, though.
Okay.
I'll eat the liver.
Yeah.
And I'll eat all the other stuff, but the tripe, I can't do it.
Okay.
But the tamarind kind of cuts all that beefiness.
It's almost a kind of sweetness to it.
Sweetness, a little sourness to it. Yeah, so yeah. It just adds this level of just, you know, choix de vivre. So boat noodles, when I first had it, I didn't like it as much only because the restaurant that I went to wasn't very good. And it was just this weird. I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
It wasn't like either salty enough or there wasn't like that shit. And then I had it at this place called Pot Ord Noodle.
Okay.
And I had boat noodles there. Fucking sent me to the moon.
Boat noodles, bro, so slept on in the noodle conversation.
Better than tom kha, tom yum.
Mm-hmm.
Boat noodle is so much better.
Yeah, yeah. So if y'all don't know, Thai boat noodles, it is a it's a pretty hearty soup. It's like noodles. It's like a dark broth, which is different from any other Thai soup, really.
It looks like blood sausage color.
Yeah, it's like dark brown, you know what I'm saying? And it's like beef and beef meatballs and sometimes liver and tripe. And, you know, it's a little spicy, a little sweet. And usually, you know, we'll throw a little, you know, I like to throw a little vinegar in there, a little red, a little hot sauce as well. And man, that shit right there, it's so like, especially on a cold day, get that shit nice and hot. So like, just like filling and just makes you like, you know?
You know, the first time I ever had Thai level spice was in North Hollywood.
Mm.
If you ever come to LA, you want like good Thai food and you don't know where to go, just go to North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It's Thai town.
Thai town.
And it's one of the best like Thai food experiences I've ever had. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never been to Thailand, but you know, homies who have been to Thailand, they said this is pretty close to it. It's pretty fucking good.
Thai town has some fire spots.
Yeah, there's like some interesting things that you can eat there. So I think a lot of the times when we explore food, we only go for the stuff that you typically see,
mm-hmm.
but that's usually not a representation of the whole cuisine.
Yeah.
Right? Like one of my favorite things I've ever had in my life is the Thai fermented sausage.
Oh, really?
With the little sliver of garlic on
it. Yeah, yeah, where it's almost kind of like raw looking.
It's so fucking good. It's a little sour.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little sour. It's a little spicy.
That's called nam, if you ever want to ask for that in a Thai food restaurant.
It's so, and you raw piece of garlic and a raw piece of ginger with mm-hmm. it. So fucking good.
So it's interesting, right? You bring it out and it looks like a fucking raw sausage. It's called nam. And they'll bring out, they'll put little peanuts, little chili, little garlic, little raw things. And you kind of just kind of, if you want, you can grab like a lettuce cup, eat it like a little lettuce wrap. But yeah, it's like a little appetizer finger food. And yeah, it's not a lot of people order that. So yeah, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, I just ordered it one time. I'm like, Thai people have sausage? I didn't fucking know this mm-hmm. shit, you know? And I thought it was going to be like meatballs or whatever. Came out and I had no idea how to eat it. So you know, me having like social anxiety and shit, I just sat.
Waited.
And then this lady came over. She goes, you don't know what I eat that day. I was like, no, I don't. She goes, okay, you could, you know, wrap it or just eat the sausage with some garlic. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no real way to eat it. Everybody eats it different.
Yeah.
I was like, thank you.
I said, kap kun kap.
Kap kun kap.
Thai people also do a Thai sausage that's cooked almost like on some like street meat shit. It's called sai kok. All right, it's like a stuffed sausage.
Side cock. Yeah,
it's called sai kok with it's like stuffed with rice and noodles sometimes. And I remember being in Thailand, bro, as a little kid, and I loved it. I was like 4 years old. I loved it. And then we came back from Thailand. We were in America, and I was like, Mom, I really want to eat that thing. It's like meat. And it's like on a stick, and there's like noodles on the inside, and I couldn't think of what it was called, and I kept calling it sai bok instead of sai gok, and my mom could not figure out what I was talking about, and we were both getting so frustrated, and I'm like, Cyborg, it's the meat with the noodles on the inside on the stick. And she's like, what are you talking about? So finally I drew a fucking picture and my parents are like, oh, Cyborg. I'm like, dude, I'm off by one letter. And for years.
Just try.
Dog, for years they would be like, they would make jokes about like, oh, Tim kept calling it Cyborg and we couldn't figure it out. I'm like, guys. And finally I was
one letter.
I was old enough to make an argument and I was like, guys, if you told me there is this meat that's in bread and it's called a hot bog, I would figure it out. What was the issue?
You fucking assholes, all right? Holy shit. You take the B, you mirror flip it, it's a D.
They're looking at me like, what are you talking about? What is a cyborg?
Dude, this is not my story, but a friend of mine told me this story where he witnessed his mom and his best friend get into an argument over a snack because his mom wanted to give them a snack, but she kept saying this random word and they didn't know what the fuck it was. Mm. And she goes, oh, so you friend want a todori? And then he was like, mom, what's todori? Yeah. She goes, todori, you eat todori every day, it's a todori. He's like, what the I don't have todori. You don't know todori, todori, todori. And she's getting mad. She's screaming, todori. And she goes, what? And she runs into the kitchen. She grabs a bag of chips. Todori. He goes, mom, those are Doritos. She's like, todori. And they're screaming at each other. Todori is like one of the funniest fucking things I've ever heard in my
That's
life.
That's hilarious. My boy Benji, when he first moved to LA, you know, because I would always take him to taco spots whenever he's in LA, right? So one day I'm like, yeah, how you feeling? You want to get some tacos today? He's like, yeah. He's like, man, I would love also like that Charmada drink. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, Charmada. He's like that white drink. I'm like, horchata.
Funny, dude. My brother told me the story where his friend, you know, who, you know, kind of says he knows food very well. Uh-huh. And this fool got so mad at him because he was hyping up my brother about the sandwich spot that he knows, right? He's like, yo, this is a local spot. A lot of people don't really go to this joint, but they actually make some fire sandwiches. And they have fast service like Subway does. Mm. He goes, dude, this spot is fucking dope. And like, it's because it's quick. They call this joint called, he goes there. He goes, yo, this is a spot. He goes, a spot called Togo's. And he goes, it was fucking Togo's.
Yeah.
And he hyped him up for like a week.
It was like,
brother, fucking blew up on him. He goes, fucking Togo's, bro, it's a chain. But that's the funny thing, this guy talks about himself like he knows food. Mm. You know, but it was a fucking fast food spot. It's like, get the fuck out of here with that shit, dude.
Some people, dude,
fucking Todori guys, dude.
Todori, that's adorable.
I know. It's only adorable when they're not screaming at each other.
Well, Koreans are always screaming at each other, though.
This is how we communicate, dude.
Yeah.
My parents, dude, the way, when I look back at how me and my parents used to fight, it's like any white person would have called like CPS immediately. The Korean people are so fucking mad. So, you know, I don't go back home as often. But, you know, when I was walking around the house, I'm like, oh, I punched a hole there. My dad ripped the door off of here. This is where my mom threw a rice cooker at my dad's head.
Oh, my God.
This right here is where my dad punched the cabinet door open. I kicked a hole in this wall over here. We were so fucking violent.
Yeah, my dad made sure I didn't even, whenever I showed any hint of doing that, his face was like, don't ever do that. I think one time I got frustrated and I like, kick some rocks. He's like, hey, don't do anything like that ever again. It's like, oh, okay. I'll find a different way.
We don't show emotions in this family.
He's like, I'll learn to verbalize that. I'll learn to communicate.
Not my family, dude. We just started breaking things in the house. It's like, you know what? The soup was cold. We get fights, dude.
Well, I want to come over for dinner sometime because it sounds fun. I want the beef. I want the fight.
We don't fight anymore. It's been a long time since we actually had a fight or an argument. It's been a very long time.
Yeah, isn't that weird? It's like, I feel like you don't really start to get along with your family until like you're grown.
I know. You know what my dad said? Like the last time we almost got into a fight after we had a huge fight was probably like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And then we almost got into another one. My dad looked at me, he goes, I'm old.
I ain't got time for that shit.
20 years left maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it fighting.
Yeah.
Whatever. He just went to his room, went on his computer, and just started watching Korean videos. He wasn't even mad. He was just, I'm old. I'm going to die soon.
I'm over it.
I'm not doing this shit. And honestly, it was his fault. But he was just like, didn't want to apologize. But his way of saying was like, I'm just going to not argue.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of like, it's like, you know what? It's not worth it.
Exactly.
I'm good.
We used to fight about some of the dumbest shit, dude. And I told the story on my podcast where I remember I actually have a voice recorder, a recording of this. I'm trying to find it, where I recorded how stupid he was being towards me. We were painting my room, right? He was like, hey, let's do a refresh. You can paint your room whatever you want. He was trying to be nice. And I go, okay, cool. I want blue and I want white trim. And my dad goes, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Just off the jump. As a kid, that's going to piss you off. I'm like, why? He goes, that doesn't make any sense.
Okay. And I'm
like, why doesn't that make any sense? He goes, because blue is a heavy and it's a white is a light. You can't put a heavy color on a something light. You see, you put a book on a cardboard box. What happened? It's going to break. I'm like, what are you fucking talking about? So I was like, then why did you ask my opinion about what I wanted? He goes, your opinion's wrong. And I'm like, I was like, opinions can't be wrong because it's my opinion. Right. You asked me. He goes, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
He's like, I thought my son would be smarter than you.
So what he did, if you go to my room back at home now, it's literally this cream colored wall and turquoise trim, the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. And he forced me to have it.
Wow.
Because I didn't want that. I wanted a navy blue wall and white trim. And he wouldn't give it to me because he said it was stupid. And I recorded that conversation. And it's just me and him yelling at each other. He goes, these are heavy! White is a lie!
Oh, man. Arguing with your parents, was your Korean good?
It's a lot better now than it was then.
Yeah. I mean, arguing with my mom growing up was some of the most difficult because my Thai isn't great and her English isn't great. So we kind of like are arguing each other in our broken, like, you know, trying to figure out how to make it work, right? And I remember sometimes when I was younger getting so frustrated that I'm like, I'm just going to exaggerate so she understands that I'm pissed. And I would say shit like, everything in the world that I like, you hate. And then that would just make my mom just shut down. She'd be like, oh. Okay, well then, I'm never going to talk to you ever again.
Of course, that's their response. Listen, you know, before we end this podcast, this is one of the funniest things. This is, okay, I always say this too, just to give people a preference. Like, this is not my life and I wouldn't do this. This is funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine was going through a lot of shit. And I think in a lot of like Asian cultures, like the idea of mental health isn't something that they give a fuck about.
Right.
So like this will tell me the story, which was so terrible, but it's funny at the same time because of how Asian this shit is.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend tells his mom, like, hey, I'm depressed. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had thoughts about killing myself.
Right.
And then his mom, in the most Korean fashion ever, goes, whatever. And then, yo, this gets worse. This was pissed. He's like, mom, I want to kill myself. This is how serious this is, right? She walks away to go pick up a phone call, right? It's his cousin.
Yeah.
Right? And his cousin goes, yo, so how's he doing, right? He goes, he just told me he wanted to kill himself. And she starts busting up laughing as he's in the other room. Like, oh, he says he's depressed. Like, in Korean, kind of like, oh, he's depressed.
Oh, my God.
Well, he can laugh about it now, but when he told I was, like, cracking the fuck up.
That's so funny.
Whatever.
I had no idea that Koreans went in like that until, you know, like I said, I've dated a Korean girl when I was a freshman in high school, Tina Park. Shout out to Tina Park. And she would tell me stories like that where she would be like, I was crying to my mom. I told my mom that she hurt my feelings. And my mom said, you don't have feelings. You're a kid. What do you mean? What feelings?
I wonder how she's doing now, huh?
Oh, my God.
Nah, Korean people are some of the fucking worst. My mom once, so I got when I first got dumped, I was 18 years old. And I wasn't close to my dad. So I told my mom, listen, do not tell dad that I got dumped. And I went to my room and I started crying. I was bawling, right? And I'm like 18 years old and I was like devastated.
Yeah.
My mom just opens the door, comes in, She sits on my bed just like a white sitcom. Puts my head on her shoulder. She goes, "Only pussies cry in the room alone."
Damn.
And then I looked at her, I started crying more. And then she just walked out and closed the door.
Oh, wow.
And then I hear my mom. She goes, "This guy's crying in the room." Telling my dad. And then I just told her, "Don't fucking tell him." And I go, "Mom, why the fuck did you tell him?" She goes, "You're crying like a little bitch. What do you want?"
Man.
The worst mother on earth, but I love her.
But you, and you learned to man up.
Mm-hmm. And I never cry anymore. Even when it hurts so much, I hold it all inside.
Ah, well, that's beautiful, David. So, well, hey, man. Cheers to us being able to grow and laugh at that now.
I don't need therapy. Yes, I do. I actually have therapy right now.
The key is to being able to recognize how we couldn't communicate back in the day, and, you know, opening up nowadays, man, figuring it out.
That's,
you know?
Right. Asian kids, try some therapy. It's great. It helps you out.
It helps. And this is my therapy, talking to you, David. So
good, Tim.
And I hope you guys were able to listen and enjoy this episode of Dudes Behind the Foods. I don't know when this is going to come out. I was going to say Happy New Year, but I don't know exactly when this is going to come out. But Happy New Year, either way.
Happy New Year, everybody.
I'm Tim Chantharongsu.
And I'm David So.
Make sure you rate this 5 stars on iTunes, podcasts, and Spotify, wherever you're listening to this. It really helps. Thanks.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, "Thank God I didn't try to do that myself." I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.